Glad to be here, give you the word. I thank God for that I'm called to the ministry, that's what Paul said. Amen. And it's a privilege to bring the good news, the answer to every question. The water that quenches every thirst, the bread that fulfills every hunger. We thank you, Father, as we go before your word this morning. We thank you for your anointing. On me as a speaker, on all of us as hearers, have your way. Wherever we are hearing this, we thank you for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. Okay, so last week we began to talk about the definition, the Bible definition of rich. And we told you Psalm 73 talks about the foolish who prosper in the world. We talked about the fact that Joshua chapter 1 tells us that there is something besides success that can only be found in God. It's called good success. And it comes by this word. It says, if you meditate in this word day and night, and observe to do what's written in it, you will know how to make your world prosperous, and you will have good success. That's what we talk about, good success. Hallelujah. Not just success. You can climb the wrong building. My goodness. To climb the right one, you got to go by Jesus. Proverbs 10:22, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it make it rich. That's what we're talking about. Not the blessing of Wall Street. Would you give it and take it away? Ooh, glory, glory, by the blessing of the Lord and make it rich. And he added, no sorrow. And of course, look at some examples. Jacob and Esau were so blessed they couldn't stand it. They had to separate. So was their grandfather before that, Abraham. Bible says Lot was the richest of all the men of the East. So God specializes in making folk rich. And he has made us rich. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ. And though he was poor, yet for your sakes, he became rich. And though he was rich, for your sake, he became poor. You through him might be rich. He loves to do that. He has done it for us. Just got to receive it. And we talked about Isaac. Isaac was so blessed. The Philistines envied him. And they told him, please, you're making us look bad. Why don't you depart from us? And like I pointed out last week, he didn't have to depart. Well, let's just start. Look at Genesis 26. Because they themselves confessed that he was mightier than they. So being mightier than they, he didn't have to go anywhere. He could have said, you move. I'm not going anywhere. And could have made his stick. Because I told you last week, I didn't show you the scripture. But you know, you remember, we'll talk about this. Bible tells us he had servants. Genesis 26 verse 14. For he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants. Not just servants, great, a lot of them. Because he was wealthy, of course, he was rich. So I told you that he could have marshaled his servants just like his grandfather did. And the Philistines knew it. Okay? So let me just remind you, go look at Genesis 14. Let me show you, remind you again where his father. You remember when they told him that some bad kings had come around the valley and all that and swept around him and captured everybody, including his uncle, his nephew. And he thought to himself, guys, you should have left him alone because now you've got me involved. Genesis chapter 14, look at verse 14. And when Abraham heard that his brother, actually his nephew, was taken captive, He armed his trained servants. See that? So did his grandson. He had servants. He could have trained them. If you notice the word servants in italics, somebody said, well, it wasn't there. If you keep reading, you will find a good justification why servants should have been put there. His trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants. And I'll give you a clue. When you read the King James and they use an italic, by the way, that's why I like the King James Version. They tell you what was not in the original text by putting it in italics. Compared to some of these paraphrases that you gotta watch those paraphrases. Sometimes it's over paraphrased. Amen. I mean I look at all of them and so forth and when I study, but you know, you gotta come back to King James, in my view. I thought it was good enough for Paul. That's a joke. That's actually what Pentecostals said. Good enough for Paul, good enough for Peter, good enough for me. They had the spirit of it right though. Oh boy. So point is that just like Abraham trained his servants and worked with his four kings, Isaac could have done the same. Go back to 26 now. And the Philistines knew it, which is why they politely asked him, could you leave us, please? And the bigger point is that he did. You know how it is to move. It's an inconvenience, you know. I mean, you got to get all your stuff that you forgot that you had. We've got to get rid of them somehow. Get rid of them or carry them, box them up, something. It is a chore to move. And so if you don't have to, you don't usually do move. You just like, you know, I don't have to. I'm saying, but he did. He did what? He didn't want to get in strife with these guys. Which is, like I pointed out last week, as a very important point of walking in the prosperity of God. You cannot afford strife. No how, no way. Okay? Okay, and then we'll talk about the definition of rich. I'll continue to talk about that. Pharaoh had two dreams. Oh, the same dream repeated. Joseph interprets it and says, here's what's going to happen. The first 7 years are going to be years of bountiful harvest. And then the following 7 years are going to be pretty bad, dry, so forth. So, store up grain and all of that during those 7 years for the 7 years of plenty. And Pharaoh said, you daman, you know. And so he did that. And so from there, I get the definition of being rich. Actually, this is not original with me. My father in the faith, Kenneth Copeland, shared this. And as I studied, I believe that he had that right. So one way to tell if you're Bible rich is being Joseph rich. That is, you have enough liquid or liquidatable assets to live on for 7 years without any income coming in. How much did it take for you to live last year? How much income did you make? How much did you live on? Take that and multiply by 7. Do you have it stored somewhere, either in liquid cash or liquidatable assets? If so, you are Bible rich. That's what we're doing. And so if you're not, that's the goal. That's what you shoot for. That's what you shoot for. So this business about, you know, me and my wife and us two and that, no. Because when you get to that point, you are willing now, you are able now to be a blessing. Huh? It's about us, but it's not all about us. We have to get to the point where we can be a blessing. Not enough to say, well, now, you know, I've gotten my retirement, this and that, the other. What about folks who don't have it? And God wants to use you to bless them. He can't use the mafia, you know. The mafia take it away, doesn't give. So that's one definition. Okay, so let's continue now. Look at this 112th Psalm. What does it mean to be Bible rich? you're going to find that it's not just about money. You know that already, but you know, it's good to ground that in scripture. The 112th Psalm, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man, capital M, meaning both males and females. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Blessed, what does that mean, to bless, to be blessed? To be blessed is to be empowered to prosper. Amen. What does that mean to prosper? It means to excel, to go all the way to the very top. That's the meaning of prosperity. Go all the way, excel, go the way, all the way to the very top. So to be blessed is to have something on you. My. The anointing of God that enables you to keep climbing and climbing until you get to the very top. In health, in family cohesion, in money, amen. In good sense, amen. So this person is rich. So that tells us it takes an anointing to get there. That anointing, of course, only comes if you have Jesus in your life. Therefore, folks who are not born again, they can't be a part of this. They're welcome to it, but it only comes after you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Bible rich begins at the point of salvation when you receive Jesus. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Okay? Reverential awe of God. You know, we were talking, my wife and I, just, I think it was yesterday, the day before, in our kitchen, you know, just talking about scripture, and then we got to talking about how faithful God is. And we got to lamenting about, man, if only we did, we just got to be more faithful to Him. I mean, it's just one of those unscripted moments, you know, we're just caught up in His faithfulness, His goodness, and how that all of us as children could do better. Amen? We could be better and reflecting more perfectly. That's the kind of part he's talking about, that feareth the Lord. Not fear as in he's going to hurt you, but a reverential awe of, you know, like one folks say, you the man. In this case, he really is the man. So that's a part of being rich in God. You can't get there. Don't have that. Feareth the Lord, delighteth greatly. Not just delight greatly in His commandments. Read that as His word. He delights greatly in His word. He makes opportunities to expose himself or herself to the word of God. You know, the news is good, but you know, the word is better. The news reports what's happened. The word can tell you what's about to happen. Jesus said it, didn't he? Put your finger, go to John 16. Let me show you. He did. He'll give you an inclination. And in many cases, outrightly spell it to you what's about to happen. What's in your future? Kind of like we sang today. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. John chapter 16. Look at verse number 13. Let's see. Verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth that you should know about. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's open to showing you things to come if you give Him the chance of day, time of day. And so this man, this woman, delights themselves, go back to Psalm 112 now, greatly in the commandments of God. He's a word man. She's a word woman. Hallelujah. And of course, the chief commandment is the commandment of love. We've already talked about this morning. You cannot be rich in God if you're not absolutely sold out to being a person of love. You can't get there. You have to absolutely make up your mind you're not going to hold grudges against anybody for anything, anytime, anyhow. That you're going to forgive people just as soon as the Holy Spirit allows you to know that you've taken offense. In fact, lately, I've gotten to the point where I not only forgive people, but I also receive forgiveness for taking offense to begin with. Did you know that? That's another step from forgiving. Not only forgive people, but you should be slow to be offended. It should be hard to offend you. Glory to God. Amen. It really should be. It should be really hard to offend you. I'm not talking about this phony number. Oh, I'm not mad. Well, you're going, you're lying to yourself. You know the whole time you are. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about genuinely, you were not offended. It takes a lot to offend you. That's what I'm headed. So now, if somebody offends me, I forgive them for offending me. And then I receive forgiveness for myself. Because see, when you are offended, that's against God. Because offense is deadly. So I forgive myself. And by doing that, I remind myself next time to not allow myself to be so quickly offended. Because if you think about it, offense is a sense, offense is an admission of loss. You've lost something of importance. But if you're with God, Hallelujah. I was lost. I've been found. So, you know, you ought to just roll over your back like a waterfall dust bag. Okay, but we're not there yet. So, walking in love is big with this, with anything else. So this person greatly delights in the commandment. It's a person of the word. It's a person of love. Okay? And then it says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Talk about children. Amen. So this thing impacts your posterity. If you don't have any children, it impacts your family. Amen. Your cousins and your nephews and nieces, all of that. Siblings, this can impact them. It's supposed to impact them. In fact, impact them before it impacts anybody else. Amen? All right. Oh, yeah. You can't, like they say, you know, save the world and let your family go down, go to pot or something. Amen. His seed, his posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. Mighty as God counts mighty. Mighty in spirit. I want to talk about being the Nobel Prize winner, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, that's a part of it, but unless that's the calling of God, we're talking about being mighty in the things of God. Thank you, Lord. I made a pact. God and I made a pact when it comes to my family. My goodness, I have service of self. Glory to God. Amen. You all do the same. Okay. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. The psalmist says, I've been young, I've been old. I've never seen the day when the righteous was forsaken. Nor their seed begging bread. My goodness. This stuff should impact your family. Whether they know it or not. If they're not born again, they may not know it. Amen. The Bible says, you shall be saved and your house. So too bad they are a member of your house.
Yeah.
Ooh, you can stand on that.
And then it comes down to the nitty gritty, right? Well, my goodness, you spelt it out. W-E-A-L-T-H. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. We're talking about a godly man who walks in love, who has reverential awe of God. The picture is not complete if there's no wealth and riches in his house. Amen? Oh, my. You know, you have some self-help guru come through town, put up a seminar. Come, let me teach you how to be a millionaire before you turn 12. And that place will be flooded by folk, including Christians. But you take a man, a woman, anointed of God, called, deputized, give him revelation and insight into this subject matter. And they call us, do a seminar, and he talks about his money. You can't pay some Christians to show up. Deceived, lied to by the devil, gullible. All he wants is your money. Won't show up. But a self-help guru, oh yeah. They'll pay to show up. $200 a ticket. I'll show you how to be a millionaire before you even have any sense. It is sad. My goodness. But there it is. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. We're defining Bible rich. My goodness. Now, various definitions of wealth and riches. Some people say riches is the actual money and cash and gold and, you know, and properties and so forth, land and all that. And then wealth is those things that you can't, you know, they're not physical, like character and good judgment and wisdom and so forth. Now, all of that is a part of the life of a believer, part of being rich. But the definition here, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Character might be in the house, but character is on the person. So my definition is wealth is income producing assets. Oh yeah, that's wealth is. Because it's there year in, year out. It just keeps producing. What people call passive income. Wealth producing assets. And then riches, of course, is the liquid stuff, the cash and so on. That's what it is. And so both wealth producing assets and the liquid stuff shall be in his house. If they're not in your house, Christian, it's not the way it ought to be. And you shouldn't settle for what it is. If wealth and riches are not there, you should be on your way. Amen. Because says I, this man's blessed of the Lord. He fears God. Reverence. This is a godly person who also has wealth and riches in his house. So if you're a godly person and there is no wealth and riches in your house, something is missing. Hallelujah. Don't rationalize it and say, oh yeah, well, but we love Jesus. I'm glad you love him. But the Jesus that you love has sent me to tell you this is part of what he died and prayed for you to have. And you should contend for it. My. Now, just in case some religious spirit wants to whisper in your ear and say, oh, yeah, did you notice that very same verse talked about righteousness? They'll go together. It's not A, B, or C, it's all of them. All of them, all of the above. Woo! I take Jesus, I also take the world. Amen. It's all of them. All of them. It's a package. It's a package deal. Wealth, riches, righteousness. They're not mutually exclusive. Amen. They are not mutually exclusive. They are mutually inclusive. Glory to God. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Amen. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Unto the upright. Let's talk about this rich believer. Unto the upright, there ariseth light in darkness. Okay? Let me look at my notes. Thank you, Father. Yeah. This man has both right standing. Here's something to deal with righteousness. Righteousness is all, it's a status. The Bible says that he who knew no devil was made to be sinful, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, thereabouts. So it's a status that we receive when we get born again. But righteousness also has to do with right doing and right being. And in this case, it's talking about generosity. His righteousness endured forever. This rich believer's generosity is spoken of from generation to generation. Amen. Amen. Light in the darkness. He's never in the dark for longer than that. Because he always has access to light. In the midst of, I've told you over and over again, don't you ever again say, I don't know what to do. The moment that thought comes to your mind, you should turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, what should I do now? And then you'll know what to do. Or what to say. And in some cases, he's telling you, mom's the word right now. Say nothing from here on out. Did you know that is one of the best ways to pour water on the fire of strife? Just shut your mouth. Huh? Don't stir things up. They say something, and then you say something, and then they say something, and then you... Quite often, just shut your mouth. But you know, I mean, you're just inching. They gotta hear this. They can't get away with that. Bless God. Just shut your mouth. So those that, if you turn to Jesus and say, Lord, what do I say? He may say nothing. Lord, what do I do now? Nothing. The Bible does say, doesn't it? Having done all to stand, stand therefore. That was the move. You've done all the moving you should have done. So now just stand and watch me. But you should never again say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to go. Because you know who knows what you should do. It lives right inside of you. Huh? If you don't know, it's because you haven't asked him. That's it. That's because you haven't asked him what to do. Because he always knows. And he's always willing to tell you. So this man, part of being rich, part of the definition of riches, you always know what to do next. Light arises when darkness comes, tries to come. The light of the word, the light of the path. Where you should go, what you should do, what you should say, what you should think. He knows all that. Unto the upright, the rich upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion, just like his father. God is gracious. Here's the definition of gracious. Oh, I tell you, it is such a blessing. To be gracious is to be disposed to show favor. My goodness. Did you know that defines God at core, at his core? To be disposed to show favor. That's why he says, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Don't hate them back. Folks like to do that, don't they? Yes, God, I'm going to fight fire with fire. Well, the fire just gets bigger. It consumes not only them, but you too. We fight fire with water, do we not? The exact opposite. My goodness. He's gracious. This rich believer is gracious, is disposed to show favors. Amen. That's his disposition. And guess what? He's got the means to do it. Woo! He's got the means to do it. How frustrating it is when you want to help, but you just can't. Huh? How frustrating is that? I wish there was something I could do, but you follow this path, there'll always be something you can do, and you will be able to do it. He's disposed to show favors. But beyond that, he's able to show favors. A rich believer. Kind of like Job. I know when folks think of Job, they think of all the suffering and all the demonic, devilish stuff. They forget about what God did. He's gracious. He's gracious. The rich believer is gracious. That's a part of being rich. Because see, like I said, it's not about you. It's not all about you. It's about other folk who don't have the connection with God that you have. And without you, they have no way of receiving God's grace. Well, that's where you learn that from. He is gracious. He's disposed to show favor. He's not angry at anybody. He poured out his wrath on Jesus on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. I hear Christians go back getting angry at folks who are just lost. They are lost. Like a goose in a storm. They're lost. Trying to be happy. Don't know how. If I do this, if I change that. We ought to be busy trying to point them the right way. And be disposed to show them favors. My goodness. Here are several scriptures about that. How is that possible? My battery's 10%. Okay, what time is it? I haven't been that long. It must be that morning, didn't it? Where's that cord? Yeah, I got this cord here. Put it on here. Get my iPhone, but I'll do this. Amen. There, fix that. Okay. Hallelujah. He's disposed to show favors. He has some scriptures about God's grace, how gracious he is. Psalm 86, verse 15. We're not going to turn to it. Psalm 145, verse 8. He's disposed to show favors. Now look at verse 5. I learned some stuff from verse 5. Let me get my iPhone here because this thing is not, something is not charging. So, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Go to my backup plan here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Give me a minute here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
some good stuff about that. Good. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to go with this until that goes off. If it does. All right, verse 5. A good man showed favor and lendeth. Huh? People who have barely enough don't lend. They can't. We'll go back to that frustration I talked to you about earlier. Want to lend but can't. Because don't have extra to lend. A good man showed favor and lended. So, does that mean that if you can't lend, you're not a good man? Of course it does. Isn't that something? Yeah, I know how you, what you're thinking.
What?
Yeah. That's the Bible definition of good man. Not saying that you are evil, you are incapacitated. Want to do good but can't do it. Right? Want to. Don't fault you for that. But you ought to listen to this teaching and so forth, stuff like that, and get who you can actually do good, not just want to. And until you are able to do good, you are not a good man. Oh boy.
I can just imagine that.
I'll show you, stick with me. I'll show you the scriptures for me. It says right there, doesn't it? A good man showed favor and lended. Therefore, if you can't show favor or lend, you're not a good man. You want to be, but you don't have the capacity to be. The capacity is available, but you have to avail yourself of it. It's like wanting to be a good painter, but you just don't have the artistic skill to be that. Right? You can want to be a good painter all day long. Unless you have the artistic skill, you're going to be frustrated. And you are not going to be a good painter. That doesn't mean you're a bad person, evil person, so forth, going to hell. No, you're just not capacitated to do what you'd like to do. And God wants you to be a good man. Again, man, capital M. Hallelujah. A good man is not necessarily synonymous with a Christian. It should be. It should be. If we let God, it would be. Amen. Also, a good man is not synonymous with a rich man. There are plenty of rich men who could be good who are not. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But you must have abundance of money to have potential to be a good man. Amen. You have to have abundance of money to have potential to be a good man. Because that's what enables you to do good, to lend. I know this is sort of new, but you know, is this something you can argue with the scriptures about it? It's as you said, that's what it says. A good man showed favor and lendeth. God wants us all to be good men. Chapter M. He wants to bring us to a place where that's what it means by blessed to be a blessing. Not just stop at being blessed. Blessed enough to be a blessing. Or we could say blessed enough to be a good man. Hallelujah. So let's look at that some more here. Look at Proverbs 13. This should help you receive this revelation. Proverbs 13. Look at verse 22. A good man, liveth an inheritance, Is that going to make more sense now? To his children's children. So if you don't leave an inheritance to not only your children, but to their children, you are not a good man. Meaning you didn't believe God
to receive enough of what he wanted you to have so you could be this. I mean, it's not something to feel bad. It's about something we say, oh, you know what? I do want to be a good man. So, here we go. Let's find out how we become this. How we get to where we can leave an inheritance for our children's children. You don't want to be the kind of person that dies and they liquidate your estate. It's not even enough to pay you the funeral expenses. Woo, that's bad. That's rough. Family got to come up with money to bury. That is bad. Hallelujah. I like how Crystal put it some years ago. You know, when he died, children would get in the limousine, go to the funeral, come back, get back in the limousine after they cry, say, how much did he leave you? See, that's a good man. That is a good man. Amen. Again, if you don't have family, you got cousins. You do have family. If you don't have children, you do have family. You got cousins. I mean, you could leave your money to a good cause. Amen. Oh, but you got the idea that you have enough to do good with. That's what makes you a good man. A good man liveth an inheritance to his children's children. And the wealth, just to put it in context, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. That's part of how the just becomes a good man. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, when I saw that, I thought, Lord Jesus, I want to be a good man. Woo, glory, 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 glory. And you know, it is sad, you know, what I just said, but you know, they're preachers. I guess probably due to whoever they were preaching to, who didn't do right, or due to themselves too. Preachers who left, died, went to heaven, oh yeah, did some great stuff. People healed this and that and the other. When they died, their family couldn't even bury them. You know, the Bible talks about that. Remember that? Chronicles, the prophet? Where is that? Oh, show me, Randy. I think it's talking Chronicles, somewhere Chronicles. Where the prophet dies and the widow, they come to take her children because of the old debt. I don't think I'm gonna find it, but you can find it. It's in there. It's in there. Sad. So let's all resolve to be good men. That's part of the definition of being rich, to be a good man. My goodness. So a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And this man, go back to Psalm 11, 1, 12 now. This man is a good man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory be to Jesus. Thank you for further revelation about all of this. We don't know nearly enough yet. A good man, verse 5, Psalm 112, a good man showed favor. See, showing favor. Remember now, being gracious is having a disposition to show favor. Well, you can't show favor if you ain't got what it takes to show favor. It'll be your heart. God wants it to be out in display, not just in your heart. Christian, hallelujah. And he lendeth. The reason why the bank lendeth is because the bank has plenty of. And when you get to be halfway, you have plenty of, you can also lendeth. God wants you to be there, wants all of us to be there. A good man. We're defining what it means to be rich. Bible rich, a good man. Lendeth, a Bible rich man is a good man. Not every rich man is a good man, huh? But a Bible rich man is a good man. And plenty of folks have plenty of money who won't give anybody because they're afraid they're going to lose it all. Bless God, hey, they didn't give me nothing. Nobody ever gave me nothing. That's not a good man, even though they may have plenty of money. But the Bible, rich man, is a good man. He shows favor and he lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Part of being rich in God is having sense, good sense. Woo, glory. He has discretion. He has good judgment. Huh? Amen. That's a part of it. Having good judgment. My goodness. You know what? Let's look at some more scriptures about this. It's good. Okay? Look at the scripture we've looked at many times. First Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. We'll see there another indication of what it means to be good. No, now, if you don't, I can just imagine some words of people are thinking about all this. But argue with me. Scripture. Good man lendeth. If you can't lend, you haven't gotten there yet. Keep coming out. Keep believing. Keep exposing yourself to this kind of revelation. Get there. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. Okay, charge them to for what? You know what it is? Charge them to be good men. That's basically what he says. They are rich. Now they can be good men. Oh, women. That's exactly what he goes on to say. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. So if you trust, that you can't be a good man. Because you're not going to be free to share it. You will not be disposed to show favors. You'll be disposed to save and keep and preserve because you're afraid you're going to lose it all. Charge the rich to be good men. Be not high-minded, not trust on certain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, good, but what else? That they do good. You see that? Charge them to do good. That's when they become good men. Charge them to do good, that they be rich in good works. That's a good man. Not only has the ability, but actually does good. With the ability God gave him. There are plenty of us who have a heart to be good, but don't have the money, the resources. He wants us to have those resources. So our heart can be on display. That they do good, rich in good works, ready to distribute, huh? Willing to communicate, to share, disposed to show favors. That's a good man. Amen. He said, now how come folks who are wealthy, who have riches, have a lot of money, how come they can't be good men? Because they trust in it. Because they trust in it. Because they trust in it. Look at Mark chapter 10. Jesus taught about that again, made reference to that. They trust in it. That's the problem. Not the riches, but the trusting in the riches. Thank you. Wait, I know it's here somewhere. You remember when Jesus told them, here it is, right here. Mark 10, look at verse 23. Mark 10, 23. And when Jesus looked around about them and said unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? They thought riches is the problem, but it is not. Okay? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, here's the real problem, kids. Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches? You have to have the riches to be a good man. But you can't have them and then trust in them and be a good man. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. Go back to Psalm 112 now. We're defining what it means to be rich. Time is almost over, but not quite. You got a few minutes. He's disposed to show favors. He's a good man. Ma. Thank you, Father. Light appears to him in darkness. Verse 5. A good man shows favor and letteth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. He has good judgment. Hallelujah. Because he has access to the wisdom of God. Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. It's not enough to know. You got to be able to apply that knowledge. And access to the wisdom of God. Remember what we read earlier, right here in verse 1, where there's an anointing involved in being rich. An anointing, a power to cause you to excel, to prosper. That same anointing brings you the wisdom of God. And let me warn you now, there are two types of wisdoms. Amen. Mm-hmm. Too often people talk about the wisdom of the world, especially when it comes to the area of finances. Oh, Jesus. Look at James. There are two wisdoms, not just wisdom of God. And sometimes the wisdom of the world is passed along as the wisdom of God. Glory to God. James, I believe it's chapter number. Show me the law. This wisdom, look at chapter number, James chapter number 3. Look at verse 14, James 3:14. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, and be not against, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but it is earthly, it is sensual, based on senses, and it is devilish. That's not God's wisdom. And you know, this era of finances, oh Jesus. Too often we concentrate on keeping the little we got, on saving the little we got. There's very little said about receiving more from the storehouse of heaven. And we ought not be wasteful. I mean, most of us are not even close to being wasteful anyway. You got to have plenty to be wasteful. But yeah, there's something to say about that. But we concentrate so much on saving what little we got that we're not looking at all, not much, in terms of how to receive more from the storehouse. Much of Christian counseling and Christian financial teaching is about how to save what little you got. I hear some of those folks, and I don't hear nothing about tithing. Well, you're not going to tithe. You can forget it. You can forget having access to the storehouse. I don't care who told you what. Amen. That is the key. That storehouse. My goodness. So, yeah, we're all the same. We'll talk about that. We're all the same, so forth. But the big deal is how to receive more from the storehouse. I told you, Jesus didn't have a budget. Glory. I tell you, folks, we are so far from where God wants us to be. And I know some of these things, one person can't just shoot out and go out there. It's a group thing. Amen? And those of us who are seeing stuff, unless we communicate it effectively and keep at it and keep saying it, even though folks are maybe saying stuff and all that, if we don't, We're not going to be, yeah, because you know it and you get good. No, it doesn't work like that. Do you remember that Joshua and Caleb, the two spies that had the good report, also, still didn't get to the promised land until 40 years later with the rest of them? Just because they got it right, didn't mean, oh, well, you two get to go. It doesn't work like that sometimes. It's a group thing. You got to, the body got to move with this.
Amen. Amen. My goodness. I told you about half an hour ago, I had 10%. Now I got 9%. I think the Lord is preserving his battery. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, glory. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. This person, this rich believer, is a good man. He shows favor. He lendeth. He has good judgment. How? Surely, woo, verse 6. Surely this rich believer shall not be moved. This is part of being rich. Shall not be moved forever. This righteous person shall be an everlasting. He is set. Hallelujah. For him, there's no other way. Jesus is the way. He is not looking for some other savior. He shall not be moved. Nothing moves him. Nothing that is contrary to scriptures moving, because he delights greatly in the scriptures. So he knows the scriptures. Whatever comes along, the first question he asks himself or herself is, what does the Bible say about that? What biblical principle is relevant to this? And it goes with it. Hallelujah. That's part of being rich. See, it's not just about having buku cash or something. There are plenty of poor rich people. Plenty of them. Surely he shall not be moved forever. Okay? He's not moved. His heart is fixed. He has assurance. He has no fear. He has all the confidence in God. Come what may. He wishes all of the folks who have invested, and hey, this person too has invested in Wall Street, so not about that. But all of those who are looking to it, people are immobilized because they've got, they're watching their investment every day, watching it up and down. Can't do nothing as they watch it. What a life. That is not the abundant life. Amen. It is not the abundant life. But oh, this person, like the song says, his angels are watching over me. Ooh, glory, 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 glory. Assurance, certainty. You're never alone. You have protection that the President of the United States can only dream of. Huh? Angelic detail protection. If you just know it and activate it, keep them activated. How do you do that? At a very, very, a very thought of any kind of fear that no. I got angels all over me. Woo! Glory, glory. See, that's part of being rich in God. You can't buy that with money. It's only available by revelation. I thought you get born again. Okay, my time is. Thank you, Lord. This man's heart is fixed. Look at verse number 7. He shall not be afraid. Fear is not a part of his life or her life. Huh? Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Scripture says over and over and over again. For I am with you. Hallelujah. He shall not be afraid. When evil tidings come,
When they hear stuff in the news, they don't move him. Because his heart is fixed, trusting not in his money, in his riches, but trusting in the source of it. Trusting in God. My goodness. You can't move him. Because he can't be moved. I tell you, many times I've laid the Bible out on the floor, stood on it, and said, Lord, I can't go. I'm standing on your word. I can't go under unless this book goes under. And I know you won't. I know you won't. That boat didn't sink because you were on board, even if you were sleeping. You couldn't. Hallelujah. My goodness. See, that's rich. That certainty, that assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortune. This is a taste of what's waiting for us. And too many Christians are not tasting it. Have a taste, dear brother and sister. Hallelujah. Oh, what a foretaste, huh? Of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. Bought, purchased by the blood. See, that's part of riches. Born of a spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
His heart is established. He is fully convinced, fully persuaded. He's not staggering of one mind and then another. No. His mind is fixed. And it's fixed. Jesus in the boat, it cannot sink. No way, no how. Noah didn't sink. Hallelujah. The water has got us high on Mount Everest. Noah rode on it. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. He was on a divine heavenly cruise. I better shut this up. My goodness, I tell you folks, it's all in the blood. It's all in the blood. It's available to every single one of us who will be like this man, delight greatly in his commandments, his word. Be a lover of the word of God. Thank you, Father. His heart is established. He's fully convinced. He's like Abraham, finally fully persuaded that what God has said, he is able to accomplish. Okay? One more thing and then wrap this up for this part of it. He said, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see the disciples' enemies. Who are his enemies? Not humans. His enemies are evil spirits. Huh? That's it. Not humans. Humans are not his enemies. Okay? And then it says, he has dispersed. He's a giver. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. This man, this woman is a giver. Hallelujah. He sows seeds. He gives as God leads him. He's a tither. Amen. A giver. Thank you. Where am I? He shall not shoot it, and the desire of the wicked, desire of the enemy. Okay, the curse of poverty. The man is a giver; he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. That's a part of being rich. That's the definition. Bible definition of being rich. Not the entirety of it. It's a New Testament version of this, and so forth, that we'll talk about. But our time is up, and I thank you for yours. Father, we thank you. You're so gracious. You're disposed to show favor. That's your nature. Full of compassion. Slow
to anchor. My. We thank you. We want to be good men. And lend us, not borrow us. Dispose to show favor. Given to the poor. Blessed to be a blessing. That is your plan. We submit ourselves afresh to that plan. It's about us, but not only about us. Blessed be a blessing. We thank you, Father. We thank you for further revelation, insight into these things. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. My friend, do you know Jesus? If not, today is the day. Don't wait. Why wait till tomorrow? To have fun when you can start living like God meant for you to live today. If you're at the end of your rope and you think about the end of your life because you think it's not worth it all, let me challenge you. You let Jesus come into your heart and see if you're not overwhelmed with His peace. That makes the thought to take your life the most unreasonable thing you ever even thought about because of His peace. I offer you His peace in the place of the torment. So receive Jesus now. Right now. Hand your life over to Him. He is a wonderful manager. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Lead me to a church that will teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. I receive my prayer language so I can communicate with you, son or daughter, with Father, keep the devil in the dark. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and for filling me with your Holy Spirit. I receive it now. Amen. My friend, I add my faith to your faith and declare that the rest of your life comes into focus now, into God focus. Things are going to begin to head the right direction. The peace of God will be the umpire in your life. Let you know that all is well. Until all work themselves out, you will know that all is well. I agree with you on that. Your family, your career, your job, your finances, all about you, all that's about you, your health, now works out in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll be here next week. Same time. If you can come, be here in person, do so. It's better in person than not. But if not, keep watching and they'll see you then. Amen. Glory to God. Folks, this is a miracle. Now I have 2%. Wow. My.